Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10, verses 7, 8, and 9. That's on page 1649 in your pew Bibles. John 10, 7 to 9. And we'll read God's words together. Let's begin. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." That is the word of God. Jesus is God. He is the door to life. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, Jesus is the bread of life. You eat of Him, you live forever. Jesus is the light of the world. He shines the light of the gospel everywhere so men can see and believe, and only He has the truth. These are such beautiful descriptions of Christ. But there's another one. This one is that Jesus is the door. This also proves His deity. And why was this important? Why couldn't we just look at these as little isolated passages and say, "Oh, that's nice"? Because Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus has a door, and so on. All show that Jesus is God. And He had to be God and man. We've established that, and we'll hear about that again next few weeks. That Jesus was God and man, and therefore He was the fit sacrifice for the sins of the world. Our headings today in seeing that Jesus is the door of life are: how is Jesus the door of life? And then second, what are the implications of the door of life, or Jesus being the door of life to me? Our goals are that you will enter into God's kingdom through Christ, the door, that you will remain in the kingdom, and that you will invite others to join you inside the door of the kingdom. How is Jesus the door to life? Well, Jesus proclaimed, we see that in our passage, that He is the door of the sheep, and those who enter through Him would live forever. And since Jesus is the door to life, and since only God gives life, Jesus then is God. It's a claim to divinity to make Him that fit sacrifice for our sins. And you notice, though, that Jesus is not the door of the pigs or of the goats. He is the door of the sheep. God's people are called sheep. That's election. He chose us. Now, more than Jesus saying, "I'm the door," Jesus proclaimed this with certainty. He said, "Most assuredly, He is the door of life for the sheep." And you can trust His word in this. Remember, we've been saying Jesus could be one of three things. He could be a liar. But He's not. He speaks the truth. He could be a lunatic. We know He isn't. He is the Son of God, chosen from the foundation of the world to come and live and die for us. We know He is, in fact, the Lord. And when He says something, you can trust His word that He is most assuredly, certainly, He is absolutely the door of life. The Ethiopic version of the Bible says He's the true door of the sheep. Don't know if that's correct. It could be something that they put in there. But what He says next certainly proves that point. Jesus declared that those bad doors, those bad leaders from the past, that's why they use the word true as opposed to the false, those bad doors that came before were only thieves and robbers, and the sheep were not saved by them. Now, when Jesus said, "All who came before were thieves and robbers," this is hyperbolic language. God constantly used hyperbole when he spoke. And a good example of this is Elijah. Look at Elijah in his words quoted by the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. Together, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In Elijah's mind, I'm the only one left. There's no hope. God says, I've got 7,000. So when Jesus said that all who came before were bad, we know he was speaking in an exaggeration, which is common speech, to get the point across. In fact, there were many good doers. We think of John the Baptist, Elijah, Isaiah, David, Josiah, Daniel. These were all good men who shepherded the flock of Jesus Christ, even under difficult circumstances. But when Jesus, the ones to whom Jesus was referring here, were the ones who pretended to be the door of the sheep. And when people came to them, they did not get life, they instead got death. Or they got robbed, these swindlers like the Pharisees during Jesus' day, who would pretend that they care for the widows so they could sucker their property from them. These were doors of death. You entered into their world, you died. Just like many churches today where the ministers are nothing more than ears ticklers. They'll pat you on the head and say it's okay even as you live in sin. And they go to a funeral and preach someone into the kingdom after they're dead. Those are doors of death. Now, why did Jesus use this language to describe these people who came before? These false doors. He calls them thieves. Thieves who secretly rob people and destroy them, like Jeroboam. Remember, Jeroboam was the king who took away 10.5 tribes from Rehoboam. And what did he do? He said, I'm going to set up these images. Because he didn't want them to go to Jerusalem to worship. That remained under Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And he said, I'm going to set up two golden calf. And what did he say? You know, these are the gods who brought you up from Egypt. He didn't say these are false gods. He's saying these are the true gods. And he set them up in Dan and Beersheba. So subtly, and that's what a thief does, he stole. The word for this is klepsis. So klepto, you know the word kleptomaniac, someone who picks your pocket, someone who steals. So there were some of them who pretended, these false teachers, who pretended to be nice. And then there were the robbers. Those are the ones who use violence to steal property. A good picture of this is Nebuchadnezzar, who came and wreaked havoc upon Jerusalem. And it took even the gold from the temple and the temple utensils. That's why God was so mad at them and brought destruction upon that empire when they had finished being his whip to punish his people. What did Nebuchadnezzar say? You worship my idol or you die. That's the violent robber. Neither of these people, the thieves nor the robbers, they didn't lead people to life. They were only interested in their self-interest. They were not a place of safety. In fact, some didn't care. Once their needs were met, they let the people wander away. If you read Ezekiel 34, they wandered over hills and they got lost. Some fell into holes. Some got sick. Some were plundered and they didn't care. But you know, that is the job of the shepherd to care. The Apostle Paul, who had spent time in Ephesus when he was leaving, he wrote this particularly to warn them, even though the church was strong and the people had faith. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 29, what he said to the Ephesians elders together. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. What a terrible thing. And these doors had to stop these wolves from coming in. Or if they came in, these doors had to kick them out and lock them out, which is church discipline. Wonderful thing about this is that Jesus included this extra comment here. He says, but God blocked his sheep ears from listening and following these liars. The sheep he protected even in the midst of these false shepherds. And then Jesus said, which is a theme really for today, I am the door. Jesus asserted that anyone who entered through him would not only be saved, but they would enter into his church and find good pasture. Meaning what? Meaning that they would have good spiritual food. Christ even protected those who would become his sheep in the future, and he prayed for them. Look at John 17, verse 20, in the high priestly prayer. He said together, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So Jesus was praying for you, that you will enter into him as a door, and you would be safe. Not only be saved, but be safe in him. Now, does that mean that Christians don't stray? No, it doesn't mean that. There's not a single person here who doesn't stray. Stray, maybe you don't go out and stray, but maybe you lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Everyone strays from time to time. That's not what this is talking about. This means you don't stray permanently. You don't become a sheep and then he abandons you. He always helps you to come back. He always convicts you of your sins so you will repent and be restored to the bride of Christ. That was God's promise. Remember Psalm 23, verse 2. Look at what he says there. Together, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He didn't say the sheep was always good. But he is always good. He says, come into me. Come into my bride. Be a part of me. See, Christ's sheep would be safe from the dangers of hell. And when he uses that term, by me, if anyone enters by me, if you come through him, it's an emphasis. It's saying that he is the only one who brings salvation. More, Jesus assured them that those who enter through him will be able to live for him, going in and going out daily. You know, when some people read that verse, and let me read it for you. He says, the one who will be saved will go in and out and find pasture. And some people say, oh, that means you're going into the world and coming back into the world. That's not what it means at all. Will go in and out can be translated to mean they will live with him. You have to be careful not to look at every detail of an illustration and try to apply it. It doesn't work. That's not how you should use illustration. Look at what the main point here. This means that the one who goes in and out lives there. I mean, if you live in a house, how do you know you live there? You go in and come out whenever you want. If you live in a house and you can't say you live in a house and you go visit there and then they lock the door and you can't come back in. So what he's saying here, you're living in his house. You're living with his family. You're living with his bride. Now this language of Jesus being this door to eternal life is confirmed in the Old Testament. You see a picture for us of him bringing back the people who were lost. Remember he said the false teachers, and you can read this chapter, you will see it beautifully taught. They let the sheep wander away, but Ezekiel 34:15, speaking of Christ, it says this, together, I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost, and bring back what was driven away. Bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick. That's the Lord bringing his people back into himself. And what a comfort this is for the brokenhearted. You see, sometimes because of carelessness of the sheep, or maybe because they were drawn away by false teachers, they stray and they're hurt. The good shepherd says, I will never, ever leave them. He will always go and find where you are and bring you back. This door is always open. And isn't this a wonderful thing for a child who strays? The child may get into trouble when he knows his parents will forgive him and he can be restored. What hope! He understands love. Not like every love, it doesn't continue forever. But one who wanders away from the faith and comes back. Now, people go through different rough times in their lives, like we do, and we're brought back. This language is not only Old Testament language, though. This is New Testament language as well. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 together. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is Psalm 23, right? Again, coming back. Come back into the house of God through the door. Acts 14:27 together. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. You see the language there? They're able to come into the kingdom. How? Through faith. Who gives faith? Christ does. Our faith is in him. So we enter through him just like we are saved through faith. So Jesus is a door. Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the loving door. The caring door. When you enter through him, you're safe. You're provided for. You're nourished. You're nourished by his word and his sacrament. So what are the implications then of the door? What are the implications of the door? Our second point. Well, Jesus is the only door to life. You must enter through Christ or you will pay with your life in hell. That's the first thing. The most important thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. If you don't come through the door together, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now we set it up. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 together. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Where do children live? On the streets? In the park? No. In the house. That's why you're adopted. And you're able to come in through the door. And the most popular verse in the world, in the history of the world, John 3:16 and 18 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Entering through Christ is the only means in the history of the world. Men were not saved by keeping the law in the Old Testament. All religions are not of equal value. In fact, no religion has any value except Christianity. But Christ is the means of salvation. And Jesus used this phrase. He says, Jesus describes himself as that narrow way, that narrow gate. A beautiful picture of the lost coming to him through the door. And my favorite of all is this, Revelation 21, verses 24, 25, and 26 together. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Now, Revelation 21 is often misunderstood to make people think that this is speaking of heaven. But it's not. It's speaking of the church now. How do we know that? There's still conversion taking place. People are still coming into the kingdom. They're still preaching. There's still the king going out and conquering. You have to conquer people who are unconquered. And they're brought into the church. It's a beautiful picture that the gospel continues to shine. There's no end of it. Really, in the church, we have the light of the gospel forever. There's no darkness anymore. The gates shall not be shut at all by day. That's how the church should be in this world. Welcoming, open, so others can come in. I thought about this week when someone, I don't know, maybe somebody just trying to make trouble, described us as an unwelcoming church and gave us a 1-star rating on Google. And that's when I knew it couldn't be here. Somebody was, you know, people are mean and they will lie. But one of the things you know, and it's really appreciated here, is when someone comes here, people will welcome them. Why? Because that's the door of the church must always be open. They need to come in here and be saved. Second, know that there are other doors, but none of them leads you to eternal life and heaven. There are doors to temptations that people fall into and that offer temporary joys, but they will not bring you hope or long-term joy. What kind of doors might they be? Well, doors of religion and philosophies. Before Christ and after Christ, there were thieves before there and robbers. There are thieves and robbers now. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Confucianism, Taoism, socialism, communism, liberation theology, even capitalism that people look upon with such affection will not bring you peace and joy, will not bring peace with God. Because you make the most money in the world doesn't mean anything before God. He will say, do you know my son? Have you entered through the door? That means, have you received Jesus Christ? But there are another type of door we must talk about. Those are false teachers. And these are in the church. And they are doors of death as well. You know, communism promised utopia and they failed 27 times. Never worked. So is capitalism. I mean, capitalist societies fall apart. Men get greedy, and you can't have capitalism without Christ. It's tyranny. But they're false teachers. These doors could not hold your hand when you were dying. They wouldn't know what to say because they will choose the best salaries over the best service. And if they don't lead you to Christ, if they don't talk about true forgiveness through the blood of Christ, which means they have to talk about sin first, and that's when you know a false teacher. Watch how many times he avoids talking about sin and guilt and the cross. And they usually talk about loving each other and being patient, being kind, and working hard. If you talk about those things without sin and the cross, run. They're false teachers. They're false doors. They'll mislead you. Always must start and focus on the cross. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 7:15. Together, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So some of the false teachers might have a nice clerical gown. They may even have a nice big cross around their necks. But they're dangerous. To enter into Christ's church, thirdly, is to enter through Christ, is to be joined to his church. That's what it means to enter through the door. You're part of a family now. There's no entrance and then being alone. You join with the sheep. If you are avoiding the sheep, you're not part of God's family. Don't live that way. Don't raise your children that way. Because if your children are being, or you treat your children as if they don't need the family of God, don't be surprised if they walk away from the family of God. They don't know the people who are there. They don't know the care and love. And God will hold you accountable. Remember what He said. If you make one of the least of the little ones to suffer, it will be better for you if a millstone be tied around your neck and you'd be drowned in the depths of the sea. Be joined to the family of God. Now, this is not the only place. Don't misunderstand. There are many places where you can worship and serve the Lord. But make sure you are joined to the people of God. Because when you enter the door, you are part of a family. Look at Micah chapter 2, verse 12. Together, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. That's why I like the singing here. Might not always be on key, but we are sure loud. A noise of the people of God because we gather together to worship the God who loved us. John 11:52, together. And not for that nation only, but also that He would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. That's the plea. That's what God is working towards, bringing His people together. Four. To enter into Christ is to be nourished by His word and sacrament and to be cared for by under shepherds. You see, God didn't just say, come into my son, come in through him, and then fend for yourself. He continues to feed you with the word of God and with the sacraments. Yeah, you've got brothers and sisters. That's great. Now, what good would be brothers and sisters if you don't have food? When you meet up, what do? You eat. Celebrate. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14. Together, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. You see what the good shepherd does? You see what the bad shepherd did? They plundered the people. They ate them, literally destroyed them. But Jesus, He leads us in good pasture when you enter through Him. To enter into Christ, number five, means you are safe from the enemies who have their eyes set on your destruction. You will never have to fear them. See, as I often say, Christ did not lift you up to let you down. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He will protect you. He will put, as you saw recently, a hedge around you. You don't have to fear the teeth and the paws of the devil because the shepherd is on your side. And what an interesting picture of David, the father of Jesus, killing the bear and the lion who threatened his sheep. And so the son will get the bear and the lion to threaten his sheep. Six, those who pretend to have entered the door but leave permanently prove they were fake sheep. They didn't really enter the door. They just pretended. John 1, 1 John 2, 19, together. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Seven, after you enter through the door, you'll be ashamed when you stray. Remember he said sometimes you will stray? Well, when you find yourself straying, you will feel the guilt and the shame. And you will return. You will reflect on all Jesus did for you. To become that door, He had to live and die for you. He had to give up the glories of heaven. He had to be incarnate to this weak human body, suffer and die for you. And so you will feel ashamed and return. Eight, Jesus is the door, which means you can't save anyone. You can only lead them to the door. So don't take credit. If somebody comes to know the Lord through your ministry, don't ever take credit for what He does. You share His gospel. He works in that person by His Holy Spirit. You use your body that was given to you by Him. You use His wisdom. That's how change comes. So give Him the credit. And then 9, as much as we try to be good shepherds, Jesus is the true shepherd. And you must therefore have your full confidence in Him. Your elders will fail you. Jesus never will. Even if we don't live up to what you expect us to do, Jesus will never do that. Don't lose hope in Him, because He is the one who truly loves you. You can depend upon Him. He is the true door. Let's conclude. Those who enter through Christ have their sins blotted out, their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and have the Lord's present comfort, joy, and assurance. These are truly wonderful gifts that each Christian has. Look at the help. You don't have to figure out things for yourself. You don't have to worry about what you will eat. It's there for you. You don't have to worry about protection. They're all around. You don't have to worry about the Spirit. It's making you strong and bold. So, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have entered the house of Jesus. Stay there. Rejoice in Him. Enjoy your time in the house of God. Don't stray. If you stray, ask God to bring you back. Don't be lured to things that will stray, make you stray. Those shiny things of the world, because they will lead you to hell. They never live up to what they promise, those shiny things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. They will only leave you discouraged in the end. And then 2, encourage each other to stay inside the door. Encourage your children to love their spiritual comforts and to grab hold of the promises that God gave to them at their baptism. And then 3, invite the world to come in and sup with Christ. He invites all. In a strange twist in Revelation 3, a reverse illustration, Jesus says, I stand at your door and knock. If you open up, I'll come in with you, sup with you. We'll have a relationship. And He calls. And you must call to others. And finally, let me summarize God's word to you if you are not a Christian. Come to Christ, or you will go to hell. Come to Christ, or you will go to hell. Christ opened up the way so that you could enter through Christ into His church and be safe. Don't blow it. You may not have another opportunity. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of your love for us in opening up the way, the door, Jesus Christ, so we could enter into life. Protect us from false doors, from fake doors, from wicked doors. People who seek to use the people of God for their own profit. Help us to enter through Christ alone. Hear us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.